Each Friday during this Lenten season, we turn to the Holy Land, where Jesus was born, died, and then rose again. Father Peter Stravinskas, noted scholar and editor of the Catholic Response, has been accompanying us on a journey of reflections on the places we Christians hold dear as having played an important part in Jesus' life. This week, he takes us on the Holy Family's flight into Egypt. In his Gospel, St. Matthew tells us that not long after Jesus' birth in Bethlehem, King Herod planned a massacre of small boys in an attempt to kill the Christ child. Herod believed that Jesus would grow up to threaten his throne. To escape Herod's deadly plan, Joseph fled to Egypt with Mary and Jesus.
Two things impress me the most about this experience of the Holy Family. First of all, I guess, would be the immediate obedience of Joseph. He's given the care of this woman and child, and in a dream. And it's interesting that the scriptures don't say that this was a vision. The communications with Joseph are in dreams, just as they were with the Joseph of the Old Testament. But he gets this message, and immediately, without analyzing this or in any particular way, he simply says, "This is God's communication to me, and I've got to do this." And in that sense, Joseph becomes a model for all husbands and fathers. In the United States in particular, but probably in all of the developed countries, there's a real crisis of manhood. There's a crisis of fatherhood. Absent fathers, even when they're physically present. And Joseph is a model for Christian men as to what they really ought to be. Strong and loving at the same time. Responsible. Caring, living up to their own personal vocation. And Joseph gives us, in only the few passages that we find in the New Testament about Joseph, at every turn he emerges as the key figure for Christian men, just as Our Lady is for Christian women. And then secondly, we see how from the very beginning of Christian history, there is a crisis between the Christ event and political authorities. And Jesus, later on in his life, warns the disciples, and us by extension, that we and the world are never going to be on the same page. And so his very presence threatens political power. And the truth of the matter is, if we Christians living in increasingly secularized states don't find ourselves threatened for what we believe and for what we do, it's probably an indication that we're not doing too much. And I used to say, when people say, "Oh, the church got a good write-up in the New York Times the other day," and I'd say, "That makes me very nervous," because I'm quite certain that the New York Times is not becoming more Christian, but perhaps that the church is becoming more secular. And perhaps just a third thought would be how this mystery in the life of our Lord, his flight into Egypt, shows him once again from the very beginning of his earthly existence to have identified with the marginalized. He has the experience of being a refugee and a migrant. And I don't know if you've seen the Anne Rice book, Christ the Lord, and it's a fanciful account, and she pulls things from various apocryphal gospels and so forth. But interestingly enough, she has him as the child living in Alexandria, where, of course, there was a big Jewish population, and therefore has him also learning Greek. And he enters into that whole experience and is very well rooted in it. The rabbis there think he's the brainchild of their little synagogue school. And then after, you know, a certain point, let's say, I think she gives it about 8 or 10, he's got to be uprooted from that and go back home. And we find so much of that today with, you know, you sit here in Italy where some people live in a house that their relatives had 4 centuries ago. But in most of culture, Western culture, that's not the case. People move constantly, and they're constantly uprooted as a result, not just physically, but therefore psychologically. And so when we say that we are redeemed by the entire mystery of the Incarnation, every aspect of Jesus' earthly life has something to say to our own experience of human life. And the uprootedness of contemporary culture, but most especially those who are literally, physically, migrants and refugees, have in the experience of the Holy Family a model and intercessors on their behalf.
Father Peter Stravinskas is a noted scholar, author, and apologist. He is founder of the Priestly Society of the Venerable Cardinal John Henry Newman and editor of The Catholic Response. As Father Stravinskas mentioned, later works in the New Testament Apocrypha describe a number of miraculous events as happening during the Holy Family's journey to Egypt. Many of these stories are still relived by the Coptic Church, the most important Christian church in Egypt. In these stories, palm trees bowed before the infant Jesus, and the beasts of the desert paid him homage. Today, numerous shrines and churches in Egypt mark the places where the Holy Family is believed to have stayed.